I'm going to do a short devotional tonight. I would, if you would, I'd like for you to open up your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. I'm going to read the whole chapter, okay, and then I'm going to bring out a few points as Paul is really encouraging and challenging the church at Thessalonica. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Okay, if you would read along with me as I read it aloud, okay? Paul, Silas, by the way, I am reading from the NIV, so don't hold that against me. Brian's frowning, but that's okay. All right. Okay, Paul, Silas, and Timothy to the Church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you. We always thank God for all of you, mentioning you in our prayers. We continually remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers loved by God, that he has chosen you because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with the power, with the Holy Spirit, and with a deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord. In spite of severe suffering, you welcomed the message with joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols and to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. So, you know, it's interesting. One point I'd like to make about each chapter as Paul writes to the Thessalonians, it always ends with the hope of the second coming of Christ. Well, that's not what I'm going to talk about, but it's interesting that Paul encourages them that there, as we wait, and you know, as I talk a little bit later about that hope, what is that hope? We know that Jesus is coming again, right? That is our hope. So anyway, well, Paul's encouragement and continued challenge to the Thessalonians, Paul encourages the church at Thessalonica by remembering, and I want you to focus in on verse 3, remembering their Christ-like character of faith, hope, and love. And I want to challenge us tonight as a church body and encourage, and how we are encouraged as elders as we see our church body, as we live out what God has commanded us to do to the glory of his name. Works, as you look at verse 3, it starts off there, your work produced by faith. Works produced by faith. Faith produces action, whether it be serving, sharing, praying, or whatever it may be in obedience to God's call, it produces actions. Romans 1:5 says, obedience to God and his word comes from the faith he produces or gives to his children, right? That he produces within us. So that faith that we have inspires us to be obedient to God. Galatians 5:6 reads, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Faith is a living trust in God's grace that expresses itself in acts of love. You know, James 2:18 and 19, and also in verse 20, it says faith produces deeds. In verse 26, faith without deeds is dead. And guys, I got to tell you, what a challenge for us as a body of believers. And I got to tell you, we are so thankful that we see the work you are producing, that God is producing in you. As you serve each other, that is an encouragement and a challenge to keep it on to the glory of God. Why we do that? We don't chalk up points or anything. God commands us to do it by the faith. The faith that we have, it's easy that our works will come out, right? You know, what does Paul say in Ephesians, right? It is by grace you're saved, not by works, but those works are produced in our faith, right? So that in itself, faith, in the first part of verse 3, that works produced by faith. The second point in verse 3, he says, your labor prompted by love. And you think about the love for the body, a love for the lost because of the great love he has shown us. You know, verse 4, if you look at verse 4 again, for we know, brothers, loved by God, that he has chosen you. God loved us first, right? And that love is produced in us. God gives us that love. As we have come to him, as he draws us to himself and we come to him, that love grows within us, right? James, I'm looking up at the wrong point. For Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. God loves us so much. He's produced in us a workmanship to do good works for his glory. You know, Ephesians 5:1-2 also says that we are to be imitators of God. Therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. And think about this. I've heard this saying before. For the love shown by God will be love grown in us. Right? So the third point. If you look at the third point that Paul brings out, your endurance is inspired by hope. Okay, so hope. And what is hope? It's not unfounded wishful thinking, but firm confidence in our Lord Jesus Christ. And as Paul ends each of his chapters in Thessalonians, is that hope in his return. You know, it says that in verse 10, and to wait for his son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, in the first part of verse 10. Because Jesus, the end of that verse, who rescues us from the coming wrath. We have that hope that he is returning. Faith, I want to read, let me read just in first part of Hebrews chapter 6, starting at verse 17. I'll finish up at 20a. Hebrews 6:17, because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of this, of his purpose, very clear to the heirs of what was promised. He confirmed it with an oath. God, this, so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we have fled to take hold of the hope offered to us, may be greatly encouraged. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain where Jesus, who went before us, has entered on our behalf. And praise God for that hope. He has done this. He's done that for us. Faith, hope, and love are qualities that God instills in his church, along with the gifts he's blessed us with and the maturing of the fruits of the Spirit. Of course, faith and hope is part of those fruits of the Spirit, right? Or faith and love are parts of those fruits of the Spirit. We, therefore, as it says in the middle there, and starting at verse 6 in chapter 1, it says, you know, that we are to be imitators. Well, ultimately, we are to be imitators of the Lord Jesus and God the Father, who's working on in us even now until he returns. Let's pray. Father God, I just thank you so much for the hope we have in Christ Jesus. Father, thank you for the gift of faith, the gift of love that you have given us. Lord, I pray that these will continue to, the faith will remain focused on the one who needs to be remained focused on, Jesus Christ our Lord. And Father, may the love within us continue to grow, that we may be able to use it to love one another, to love the lost. And Father, use that love that you may be magnified, that you may be glorified. Now, Father, I ask your blessing on tonight's meeting, our business meeting, as we take care of business about the church. But Father, as we do that, may we be reminded always that in all that we do, that we do it for your glory. For it's in your precious name I pray. Amen.